Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. Why? Because they're able to get you the best price on the best insurance that you need that fits your life. It's exactly what I want an insurance agent. Someone who looks at me and says, you know what? This is what Steve needs. They take care of it. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin's driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the Kia Sedona minivan. And this is a special one. It's a 2014 that has never been titled. So you're going to get an outstanding deal. You ready for this? $6,000 off the sticker price right off the top. And everybody qualifies for this. You don't have to be a special anything or have graduated or anything like that. Everybody that walks in will qualify for this price. $6,000 off the sticker price. It has rear seat heaters, rear heater in the back, not the seat heaters. The seat heaters are actually in the front. And both those seats are completely and totally customizable because, well, they're power seats. Not only that, but it also has the backup camera that is in the rear view mirror. So it's really convenient. You don't have to look from the dash to the mirror to the dash to the mirror. It's all in one spot. Not to mention cruise control, integrated steering control system, and be able to connect your phone with Bluetooth. And also passenger can actually put the temperature at their setting. Driver can have a temperature at their setting. And then the people in the back can also have temperatures at their setting. So you can't get much more customizable than that. If you need to haul something in it, the back seats actually fold and stow. Find out more about the Kia Sedona minivan and $6,000 off the sticker price for the 2014 we're featuring now. And I'll tell you what, if you stop by tonight and say you want to see it, I'll make sure it's there for you tomorrow at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf.
You'll make sure?
I will personally make sure.
I don't know how you can give up a power seat. You seem to be obsessed with it.
It's a very comfortable power seat. Plus, you have two controls on there to make it, to save the setting. So you don't have to fight with your spouse when she goes in and drives it. Not that I have that problem in any of my vehicles, but still.
Oh, no, you're the king of your castle.
My wife likes the back of the seat straight forward so you're facing, like smack facing into the windshield. I can always tell when she's driven the vehicle. I don't even have to see it. I just get in the car and my face is right up in the steering wheel and the windshield. I'm like, you were in the car last, weren't you, honey? Yep. No problems like this in this vehicle because you have your own setting.
No offense, but your marital issues, I don't think we should bear them out. Okay. No, this is sort of a sports show.
I have to talk about it somewhere.
I have a list of suggestions. Okay. All right, let's bring in Greg Pickle from PennLive.com. Greg, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Great to be here. Hope it's an electrifying performance.
After the power went out, why not?
We're going to hunt that squirrel down, Greg. All right. What were your thoughts as to what we watched on Saturday?
I thought it was a good win for Penn State. Obviously, there's a lot of areas for it to improve in, but when you go back and sort of watch that game again, there was a lot of chances for Maryland to sort of take that game and run with it. And each time Penn State had an answer, whether it was a stop on defense or, you know, to keep scoring on offense. So I think there's a lot of areas that need to be cleaned up. That wasn't a particularly great Maryland team, but, you know, they game planned to have a chance to win. Perry Hills did exactly what we thought he would do, use his feet to move the pocket and extend drives. And he was actually a little bit better with his arm than I thought he would be. Some of that was coverage related and some of that was him just making nice throws. But Penn State's defense rose to the challenge, especially in the fourth quarter, and the offense put up just enough points to win. Obviously, you go back and look, you know, there's a missed field goal, and, you know, they could have had some more points, but 31 was what they needed to get their sixth win of the year, and they got it. So, I mean, you can, like I said, you can take away a lot of areas that need to be cleaned up, but it was a win no matter any other way you look at it Saturday night.
Greg, when I watched the Maryland video, and I probably looked at three games worth of videos, just, you know, get a feel for what they do and what they don't do. Well, what they didn't do in those games is they didn't play a five-man front, and what they didn't do in those is play cover zero and cover one. What kind of job did Penn State do adjusting to something that they really had not seen before?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go back and look at Penn State's season as a whole, whenever there's times when they have to, you know, clearly some teams do. You go back to San Diego State, they have blitz packages that they design weekly that teams don't see before. Some other teams have implemented some different things and different ways to attack Penn State's offensive line. And, you know, they usually figure it out pretty quickly. It takes a couple drives, as you can probably expect, but they usually figure it out. I thought Penn State did okay with that. You know, obviously they had a lot of chances to get the ball downfield, and they did. And, you know, the wide receivers in that game were just tremendous. We heard Josh Gattis last Thursday before the Maryland game talk about, you know, he had seen a lot of things that didn't show up in the box score that indicated why he was pleased with his unit over the first half of the season. And when you see the numbers in the box score against Maryland, that's obviously what people are going to point to. But how those guys made those plays to get those numbers is really what the focus is going forward, because they might not get those kind of numbers every week. But if they make one or two plays like they did against Maryland every week, this offense is going to be, obviously a lot better and producing a lot more. I mean, each one of those touchdown catches were on plays that probably didn't have to happen. But, you know, whether it was an adjustment to the ball, coming back for it like Deshaun Hamilton did, one-handed catch like Chris Godwin, or a leaping one like Geno Lewis, those guys showed why, you know, everyone in this program was so excited about their receivers in the summer, because they can, there's so many ways to beat you when they have a chance to make a play on the ball, and they did that time and time again, and I think they adjusted to what Maryland was showing them pretty well over the course of the game.
The final four possessions of the game for Maryland in a one-point game netted 8 yards on 10 plays, and also produced with it 3 takeaways and a 4 and out. When it counted, why did Penn State play better in that spot?
Yeah, I think, well, one thing we always hear a lot about from Sean Spencer is that he loves to rotate his defensive linemen so they're fresh. And I think you saw, if you went back and watched that, Penn State's front get a lot better of a push against Maryland's front late in the game. Obviously, the strip from Brandon Bell was, no one blocked him, and whether that was fatigue or just blown assignment or what, but he came flying in, and Garrett Sickles scooped it up and ran with it and really flips field position. That was a big play in the game. And then when you go back to the other possessions, you know, Penn State just buckled down, and they didn't let the middle of the field open for Perry Hills to run, and they didn't allow guys to get open on the perimeter yet. And 2 interceptions, obviously one sealed the game. And, you know, mostly all of that was due to pressure. And I just think it has a lot to do with the condition, not only the conditioning of Penn State's defense, but also the fact that the way they rotate guys, especially up front, allowed that group to be less fatigued than Maryland's front. And I think that caused a lot of the issues that Perry Hills and the Terps offense faced late.
You also listen to Illinois interim head coach Bill Cuba talk today, who's also the offensive coordinator. And I know I watched the Illinois-Wisconsin video this morning. And when I did watch it, what I noticed is they dropped the ball a lot. They have talented wideouts, but they had a lot of drops. What did he say about that?
Yeah, you know, he noted they had 40 drops this season. He mentioned against Wisconsin, there was a couple of them. I think he said of the drops they had, 2 of them were on third down, and another one would have been about a 40-yard completion. And, you know, I even watched the tape to see those specifically. But obviously, when you have 40 drops, it's a bit of a problem, and it really hinders an offense that pretty much moves the ball by throwing it. You know, he was asked today, they have some tight end issues. Their one tight end who has 2 touchdown catches is out for this week.
That'd be Tyler perhaps. White. Yeah, Tyler White.
Yeah, correct. Yep, Tyler White. Yep, he's out. You know, another one, he joked that, I forget the kid's name, but, you know, they have another one who's wearing a cast, and he had a Cuban joke that he'll have it on until next April, but he'll be wearing it again this weekend. So his ability in the passing game has been limited. And he was asked, you know, and it was sort of an interesting moment of honesty, or perhaps not, but he was asked if with the tight end issues, if the only way this offense could function is by spreading out 4 receivers and just throwing the ball around. And he said, yeah, he said that's really the only way we've been able to move the ball is to put guys wide and hope Wes Lunt, the Illinois quarterback, can make enough plays to win. So I think when you look at, you know, how many passing yards he has, he's fourth in the Big Ten, and I think he could probably be higher. And Bill Cubitt said as much today that, you know, he's left wondering how much higher up the list Wes Lunt would be if they didn't have so many drops and so many big drops on big plays, and I think that would affect their win-loss record as well. But, you know, I think with this team, you know, it's no secret, the stats show it, that they're going to come out and throw the ball around a lot, and I think the trenches are going to be big in this game as well.
Yeah. Did he mention the status of Josh Ferguson has been out for 2 years?
He did, yeah. He talked about Josh Ferguson. He said, made it sound like he was going to be good to go. You know, it's Monday, so he said they'll know more as the week progresses. But it does sound like he's going to play. Obviously, he's a guy that, you know, can bring a lot to that offense. So I would expect to see him this weekend, Steve, yeah, based on what Bill Cubitt said today.
He actually brings almost as much to the passing game as he does to the running game.
Yeah, he does. And you know, they were talking, Bill Cubitt talked today about how he was really happy about how all of his running backs had sort of taken to pass blocking. He said he thought that was a problem they had in the past, and it's been improved this year because they've had some troubles keeping Wes Lunt upright, and he's credited the improvement they've had of late to the running backs. And obviously, you know, this is a group that, again, like I said, they're going to throw the ball around. And when you get a guy like Ferguson in there, he just adds one more element to what they're able to do.
I mean, they've played Western Illinois, Middle Tennessee State, and Kent State. I've had a little bit of a little trouble myself kind of getting a handle on how good they actually are.
I have as well. You know, I was looking, went back and watched some of the highlights of their games so far this year, last night and again this morning, and sort of did a little bit of reading up about what they've been this year. And it is sort of hard to tell because they haven't played really – you know, the teams that have been, you know, on paper better than them, the results have been pretty much as expected. You know, I think that it is hard to get a gauge on exactly what this team is. They don't have any common opponents with Penn State. So that's another hard, difficult way to get sort of to figure out what this team is. And I think that that's what makes this game interesting. You know, it is sort of hard to figure out and put your finger on exactly how good this Illinois team is. It's 4-3. You know, it's been a couple possessions away from winning some big games and maybe improving that record, and then vice versa as well. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting. I think it's a good chance for Penn State to get the going again on the ground. It's the Illinois defense is not particularly good in that department, but Penn State's shown it's able to win, pretty much doing what it needs to on offense, save for the performance at Temple and Ohio State. So we'll see what they look like on Saturday. It should be an interesting one. You know, I haven't made my decision on a prediction yet, but I do think Penn State, at least early, comes away with a win. But I don't know how close it'll be. It's, like you said, it's hard to get a read on just where this Illinois team is.
Yeah, they have talented players. There's no question about it. Very talented players, starting with the quarterback, Lunt. It's just I don't quite have a handle yet on really how good they really are. I always ask you about the recruiting end of it. So what are you hearing at this stage as they start to make that turn toward December?
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole lot new, Steve. I think the bye week may not be as well-timed for the current team, just with how long they have to wait until they get a little bit of a breather with the grind of this season really, you know, right in the middle of it, of the hardest stretch. But at the same time, excuse me, it's good for recruiting. You know, if you're going to make some late offers, some late November, December offers, and you really want to see what kids look like, you know, you're going to be able to get as much. You're going to be able to get, you know, mid-season film on these kids, and then you're going to have time to evaluate that before you decide where you want to go on your bye week. And obviously, Penn State's been aggressive on bye weeks under James Franklin. They'll be out on the road in fourth as much as they're allowed, and they'll also go see some games, of course, come Friday and Saturday and perhaps even Thursday with some of these schools making up games in different parts of the country. But, yeah, you know, I think that the bye week's good for them, but there's not really a whole lot new on the recruiting front. They lost to Christian Colon, a 3-star commit, who seems to be having some issues, you know, in Charlotte, and that may have had as much to do with it as anything. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet. You know, they'll have some kids up this weekend. You know, it's not been a particularly great home stretch so far to host kids, just for a lot of different reasons. Time, you know, kick times at noon and really not favorable weather. But they'll get a chance, even though it's a noon kick, to get some kids up this weekend, and I think that'll be beneficial going forward.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your insight. I appreciate it.
All right, Steve. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you Saturday. Have a good night.
That is Greg Pickle, PennLive.com. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand. Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street on the Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Okay, great to have you with us. Kevin was giving me the complete playoff breakdown during the course of the break. I think he said something about Shikellamy being a one seed. Didn't quite, you know, did I hear that wrong?
I think you might have heard that wrong.
It's kind of cocky, I thought, on your part, and I kind of tuned it out.
Wait, you tuned me out? I find that hard to believe.
Huh?
Exactly.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Huh?
I don't have to take this abuse. There's hundreds of people waiting to abuse me.
Not in a high-profile setting. Hey, the World Series is tomorrow. I know we have a few Mets fans out there. They're loving this. And not only that, but Scott Boras is going to give Matt Harvey permission to pitch. Oh, my goodness.
How nice of him.
You don't get many chances like this in your lifetime. So, you don't get a lot of chances like this. And they've got a great chance. They've got the pitching, and Kansas City, their credit, they've built this team to get back to this point. Rios was a great pickup for them. Installing Davis as the closer, great move. You know, Cueto was one of those, hey, look, we're going for it, we're trying to go for it moves that has not paid off handsomely except for how well he pitched in Game 5 against Houston, which was outstanding. Greg Hardy. Quite a guy. All right, enough said there. You know what? I'm a big believer in talent and what talent can do. I often talk about, look, you know, which team has the most talent? Greg Hardy is a tremendous talent, but you know what? I would not in any way, shape, or form allow team chemistry to be destroyed because I absolutely, at all costs, had to have a talent. I couldn't do it. I would never have signed him. I don't care how good he is at rushing the quarterback. He brought to the table and brings to the table baggage that any company doesn't need, and you have to be concerned about where it spills over. you saw the spillover yesterday. You have to be kidding me. I mean, he pushed the coach. The Cowboys like, oh, it's okay. He's like, oh, really? It's okay? Really? Yeah, I could see that happening in the radio station. I can also see what the inside of the unemployment office looks like, too. Then there's this guy, Julius Njoju, has been arrested by police in Nairobi because he cheated his way into second place in the Nairobi International Marathon. He hid within the crowd of spectators and joined the race near the finish, attempting to claim $7,000 in money. He'll now face fraud charges. The bothersome part is he seemed gassed.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
First and goal at the five. It's Barkley. Bounces to his right. Far corner. Got it. Touchdown, Penn State. Hagenberg takes it. Play action fake. Rolls right. Waits. Long and deep. Far side. Looking for Godwin. Fights. He's there. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. Second and six at the 19 of Maryland. Straight drop, Hagenberg. Delivers downfield. Hamilton's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. Play action fake. Sets. Being chased. Rolling near side. Throws it up for grabs. And it's intercepted by Trevor Williams. Penn State gets the pick and the takeaway. Waits. Delivers over the middle. Deflected. Intercepted. Malik Golden at the 41-yard line of Maryland. And the Penn State defense comes up with the game's eighth takeaway. The Nittany Lion football team in a game that features seven lead changes becomes bowl eligible and defeats Maryland 31-30 here in Baltimore today in a game that was tremendously entertaining, incredibly tense, and was a four-hour passion play.
It comes down to a snap, set, a kick for an undefeated season to remain, or the big upset of the season. Snaps good. Sets down. The kick is no good. No good. Long has it in the end zone. Long brings it out. It's at the five. And the Braves have stunned Loyal Sock at Shikellamy Stadium on a partially blocked kick. And the undefeated season comes to a close. And they storm the field at Shikellamy Stadium.
Well, okay then. Exciting game. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. There's a reason for that, because they find the best insurance for the right price that fits their customers' needs. How much more do you want your insurance agent to do? And they personalize it. When they're dealing with you, you're the most important person in the room. It's Purdy Insurance. And if you know the Purdy family in any way, shape, or form, or their outstanding staff, you know that that's not just a slogan. That's reality. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know Kevin now has, what are you guys fighting for, the number two seat here? 1-3?
Solidified the number three seed with that win.
Any chance for two?
A slight chance, yeah. Yeah, there is a slight chance for two. I haven't actually done the exact math on it, but.
You haven't done the math on it?
No.
Usually, when we started the show, you were obsessed with the math on it.
I know. There's just too much math involved in this one. I'll wait till next. I'll wait till week nine's complete, and then I'll take a look at things.
I'm sure that there is obviously somebody that's doing the math at some headquarters somewhere.
I don't doubt that.
Right. But me? I'm not worried about it. All right.
I'll await a week 9 conclusion before I start doing the numbers.
Tremendous. 22 years ago today, the Carolina Panthers were awarded the 29th franchise in the NFL. 22 years ago today.
Carolina and Jacksonville, they were surprise ones, weren't they? I know Jacksonville definitely was a surprise.
Carolina, no. Jerry Richardson, who had taken his Baltimore Colts money and was able to roll it into a series of Hardee's franchises. Brilliant. Had the money, had the backing. And Charlotte, especially 22 years ago, was considered to be a hot market to get into because of the southern movement of the population. Jacksonville flat out surprised me. I thought, really? Jacksonville? And so, 22 years ago today.
Waiting for Bill Cowher to coach in Carolina. You know, every time there's an opening in Carolina, he's the first name that comes up in the rumor mill.
They're 6-0 right now. Don't think they're replacing Ron.
I'm not saying it's going to happen now, all right? Yeah. I'm just saying when it does.
For example, your team is not 6-0.
No. I agree.
Okay. They're undefeated. They're 6-0.
I didn't say it would happen now. I said every time it does happen, his name comes up.
He's 6-0. They have the right guy.
Well, you say that now. We'll see how you feel in 2 more years if they continue to have the success they do now.
Well, at that point, his shelf life's over. I know you're obsessed with Coach Cowher. That's fine. He got a Super Bowl win. That's nice.
I don't know if I'd use the word obsessed.
Oh.
Admiration.
Everything he says to you is gospel.
He's a smart guy.
Sure.
He's the only reason to watch the CBS pregame show.
I don't watch the CBS pregame show.
See, if you watched it, you'd agree.
No, probably not. I don't really. No. I have no desire at all to.
All right.
I can't do that. I can't do it anymore. I can't watch that pregame stuff anymore. I just can't. I get nothing out of it. Zero. I watched a little bit of NBC last night leading into the Carolina-Philadelphia game, and Bob Costas did a great piece on Greg Olson's son. Now, that I enjoyed very much because it seems like there's a good resolution, a happy ending to it as to what's gone on. But I know. I can't. It's just after a while it becomes, you know, and obviously we're doing the same thing right now, but after a while it just becomes blah, 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 blah to me. I don't care what guys have to say. I don't care what Deion Sanders has to say. I don't care about what Bill Cowher has to say, Herm Edwards, Mike Ditka, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Howie Long. I don't.
Well, I care about what Howie Long has to say.
But I don't. And the reason I don't is it's just after a while, to me, it's become noise. It's become filler. It's become words.
See, what I like about Howie Long is Howie Long has a way to make, I don't want to say dumb it down because that's not the right word, but he has a way to explain it from playing the game that you can still understand. A lot of guys that, you know, play the game will just talk in way too much football ease. That's what I like about Howie Long. Maybe that's why he's won so many Emmys and stuff.
I'm sure. That's fine. This is not a disrespect.
I understand. I understand what you're saying.
I just have no desire to listen to it.
But there are some guys that just talk and then try to talk smart and talk, you know, purposely try to talk it over your head. And it's like, he brings it down to a level that the everyday fan can understand and takes his experience and brings it into play too.
I just feel that in order to do these things these days, and it's very hard for people to do it this way, okay? So please, I totally, completely get this part. But I think you got to be around a team on an everyday basis to get a real feel for the whole thing. Now, I'm lucky. Look, I get to do it, okay? So I get to do it, right? So, and it makes an exponential difference to me in my ability to do my job. It really does.
Now, you always say this, and you're right. Guys that stay in the studio the entire time don't have a feel for the whole picture. I agree with that.
You know, that's just me. That doesn't have to be the rest of you, and certainly, hey, look, these are all professionals. They do their job. They're entertaining the whole thing. It's like I was watching the Giants game yesterday, and Kurt Menefee is looking down on the set from some big screen, and they're looking, I'm like going, oh, what are we doing here? Just tell me you got highlights of the Steelers-Chiefs game at halftime. Move on.
Unfortunately, there weren't any highlights of that game, so they didn't have it.
Oh, no, I thought Kansas City played well.
That Jets game was a weird game, though, wasn't it?
Antonio Brown got his 6 catches. You know, you guys ought to be happy about that. That's a good thing.
I am ecstatic.
You know, to you guys, it's all about him getting 5 catches in a game. Winning and losing doesn't matter. So you get your 5. You're good.
Ben's back. Ben's back on Sunday for the Bengals.
You better hope it makes a difference.
I didn't think that Landry Jones played awful. I mean, wasn't as good as the week before, but there couple, you know, one of those picks wasn't even his fault, I didn't think.
Tom Bahali had a sack against every team in the league except the Steelers.
Now that changed.
And that changed big time yesterday. And then the Steelers had gone into the game leading the NFL in +6 giveaway takeaway, and they were -3.
Again, one of the picks was a tipped ball that why it was tipped in the air, I'll never tell you. That's the worst place to tip a ball if you're a receiver, is to tip it up. But you know, you asked me last week, Landry Jones, what do you think? I told you, I said, I would wait to see if it's a duplicate performance this week. It was not.
Well, right now you're 4-3, and you need to win Sunday. You want to win the division. You don't win this game on Sunday, I don't think you're going to win the division.
I would tend to agree with that. You are not wrong.
Oh well.
I think the surprise in the NFL this year has to be Oakland.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, they're playing a lot better.
I was watching.
Unlike you, they have a really good quarterback.
I was watching that game in Oakland, or in San Diego.
Oh, you went to Oakland, didn't you? Yeah, you went there. Good for you.
I was watching that game from San Diego. Let me tell you right now, it sounded like a Raiders home game.
That's been a problem in San Diego for years. That's been a problem for years in San Diego.
Well, didn't the Raiders talk about moving to San Diego if San Diego moves to Los Angeles? I thought I had heard that rumor somewhere.
I'm not sure about that.
The Raiders are always in a transient position. They're ready to move at any drop of the hat.
Right. It seems like they actually talked about going to San Antonio.
No, that one I wasn't aware of. That's interesting.
They actually toured the Alamo Dome.
That's interesting. That's a part of Texas that would be very interesting, because I have family that lives in Austin, and it's literally split down the middle with who you root for in football, but in the Austin-San Antonio area, between, obviously, Houston and Dallas. Dallas, predominantly, but...
I like the Riverwalk. Very nice.
I was fond of Schlitterbahn, but that's the water park.
And she was fond of you, too. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, Nittany Lions are 6-2 on the year. They are 3-1 in the Big Ten. They get to be bowl eligible in Week 8. Last year it was Week 10. They're at 3-1. They have more Big Ten wins this year than last year, and still a lot more work to do. They still have four more games to go. Illinois, good team here on Saturday. Northwestern, which has really played well on the road the week after. Then finally, the much-needed bye week. Then obviously Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back. And...
Steve, I don't know if you heard the latest news out of Baylor, but Seth Russell is out for the season.
Yeah, he hurt his neck. Yeah.
Yep, so they are going to go to what appears to be a freshman that entered school in January.
Okay. Well, but, you know, they've got the system, and he'll be fine. They've got a lot of good players.
And that's what I was just going to ask you. How does that system transfer to another quarterback?
But here's the issue, okay? The issue is this, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Baylor football. Name for me in the last 2 years more than one signature win.
I can name a lot of big scores, but that's it.
They beat TCU 61-58 last year. That's it. That is it for 2 years. 2 years. They've lost both their bowl games in that span. And they refuse to play anybody of note in the non-conference schedule. Yet they get a lot of credit for running up some big numbers against teams. When they finally get in there with somebody who punches them in the mouth, they don't get off the deck. Central Florida took them and took them out with ease. They had Michigan State down last year, and then Michigan State came back and beat them. I mean, tell me where the signature win is for that program. Is beating TCU 61-58 a signature win? Obviously, TCU's good, but they're in the same boat Baylor is. Who are their wins against? Iowa State, Kansas? Who? Texas? That's a big win.
Well, this year they have played in the non-conference schedule SMU, Lamar, and Rice.
Yep. Yeah, my point exactly.
They still have Kansas State, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and TCU to go, along with Texas.
Yippee-dippee-doo.
Well said.
Good for them. No offense.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, Lamar, SMU, Rice.
When you are a program that last year did not make the Final Four because your schedule was not good enough, you need to be proactive and act like Bobby Bowden did in the early days at Florida State. He went out and found people and played them and did not care if there was a return game. I'll go to Nebraska and play. You don't have to come back. We'll go up to Michigan and play. You don't have to come back. He'd go places with no returns because he felt he had a great product and he felt he could compete with anybody. That's why they have the Turf Cemetery at Florida State, because that is for the places they went to and won. What are you going to get playing SMU, Rice, and Lamar. Really? Really? Rice and SMU, they're both in the state. I got it. I'm okay with that. But Lamar, you got to go out and schedule somebody. You got to go out and say, hey, look, we'll play Oregon home and away. We'll play Washington home and away. We'll play USC. We'll play Penn State. We'll play somebody. Go play somebody. He won't do it. And when he finally does play somebody, Central Florida, Michigan State, they don't win.
Here's the future opponents in the non-conference schedule. Northwestern State, and then SMU Rice next year. Then they add Liberty, UTSA, and Duke. In 18, it's Abilene Christian is the new addition. In 19, it's, again, University of Texas San Antonio and Rice. 2020 is Incarnate Word and Louisiana Tech. Then in 2021, they add Texas State for 2 years, along with Louisiana Tech. Actually, Texas State, they play for 3 years. Utah comes in 2023 and 24.
Finally.
That's exactly my point. 2023 and 24, they come up with Utah.
You want all of us to respect what you're doing? I don't find their style of football entertaining. I watched the first two drives the other day. I turned it to a different game. I said, all right, I don't want to watch this.
Video game football.
But it's not, you know, now for some people it's their style. That's fine. But to me, a football game is part of, you know, some good offense, some stops, special teams play, something. In terms of an entertaining game. Now, the Penn State game on Saturday with Maryland had all these ups and downs, these peaks and valleys, twists, turns, emotions, so forth. In the end, I mean, Penn State won it, so that made you feel great about it. But that was an entertaining football game. And it wasn't 61-58. Where you felt like there were 15 guys on offense and 8 on defense.